Armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
You have
trying to save
idea?
The bubble. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is
what you're doing? Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Listeners like about our station?
I like everything.
It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
Listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key. And simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. It's game night here on Braves Country HD, and Dylan Dodd makes his major league debut. Let's go!
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All-American.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I hope y'all are doing great. I just got my new Braves cap in the mail last night, so I'm excited about that. Got it on right now. It's a little bit of a throwback with the trucker style, as I like. So getting ready for tonight's game. We've got Braves, Cardinals, 7:45 first pitch. We'll get into that here in a bit. But I did want to start off with the Masters. They have announced the tee times. So let's go ahead and get into that real quick as some interesting tee times, some exciting tee times. And I like the fact that most of them are set up perfectly midday. You see them over my shoulder if you're watching on Braves Country HD. If you're listening along on 99.1 FM, don't worry, we're going to go over them. So let's go ahead and hit the ground running. Your morning gets going. I'd say the big one that jumps off there, Vijay Singh. I know he's hated by a lot of folks. He does tee off at 8:12. Freddie Couples, 8:36. And, of course, the older guys are always going to be the ones that go first, and then they kind of get out of the way. You even get your ceremonial first swings out of the way there at the very beginning, which I think is a very cool tradition. It's one of the coolest traditions in all of sports. Larry Mize, 9 a.m., and then you start getting your bigger hitters in there. Sergio Garcia, 9:12. Patrick Reed is 9:24, which I like that a lot. I'm hoping I can get home as I'm getting ready for the show on Thursday. I'm hoping I can get home somewhere about 4 or 5 holes into, we'll get into it in a second, but Tiger Woods. Bubba Watson, Georgia boy, he's teeing off at 9:48. And he really doesn't have much star power with him. Seamus Power is teeing off with him. But check this out, 10:18 a.m. This is going to be a very good one. Tiger Woods tees off, and he is going to be with Victor Hovland and Xander Schauffele. So very, very good pairing that they have there. And then 10:30, right after that, you've got Adam Scott, Patrick Cantlay. At 10:42, Justin Thomas and John Rahm, one of my favorite golfers. Cam Young is on that as well. In 10:54, Hideki Matsuyama and Cameron Smith. And let's see, what else do we have here? forgive me if I don't go over all of them, but there's a boat ton and you can't dive into every single one of them. Let me see. Bryson DeChambeau at 11:30. So it's going to be interesting to me to see what the give and take, more so in the press conference. I don't think you're going to get a lot on the course, but the LIV golfers showing up here and what is going to be the reception there, not just by the players, but as the fans. Are the fans going to welcome them back in, or are they just going to kind of thumb their nose at them? That's going to be very interesting to me as well. So you've got Bryson DeChambeau at 11:30. That's where I left off at. What do we have next? Brooks Koepka, 11:54. See who else we got. Phil Mickelson, 12:24. Of course, he kind of got the whole thing started. You don't remember all the heat he took. Billy Horschel, or as I like to call him, Herschel, 12:36. And he's with Harris English, Ryan Fox, so pretty good pairing there. And 12:58, really like this one. Zach Johnson and Jason Day teeing off. Then you got Dustin Johnson at 1:12 with Justin Rose. That's not too shabby there. Colin Morikawa, another one of my favorite golfers. He tees off at 1:24. Scottie Scheffler, we all know what he's trying to do at 1:36. Max Homa and Sam Bennett will be with him. Sam Bennett is an amateur. And Rory McIlroy, one of the crowd favorites. He's at 1:48. And Jordan Spieth, Tommy Fleetwood, and Tony Finau are the last ones teeing off at 2. Now, that's pretty good star power at 2 o'clock. So, full day. Cannot wait for the Masters. I'll give my predictions tomorrow. We got the game at 1:15 first pitch. My guess is the game will probably end shortly before 4 o'clock. We'll continue with the broadcast and take you all the way to 5 o'clock. And at that point, we're probably going to do a lot of Masters talk and obviously react to the Braves-Cardinals tonight. Braves Cardinals 7:45. We got the first pitch there. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into that. There's some major news that has come through with the Atlanta Braves, and we need to kind of look at that and look at also what is the pitching rotation going to look like going forward for the next, we'll say, 2 weeks. I've got all that ahead and more. Keep it locked in here on the Key, and Joey's on the way. We're doing the NFL mock draft, continuing that puppy later on in the show. Keep it locked in here on the Key. We'll be back in a flash on Braves Country. Tuesday Night Baseball on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves travel to St. Louis, Missouri, heading into Busch Stadium, 7:45 Eastern first pitch. It'll be Dylan Dodd's Major League debut. He'll be going head-to-head with the Cardinals' Steven Matz. We'll come on Braves Country HD at 7:15 Eastern for the pregame show and starting lineups. Catch pitch by pitch, play by play with your Atlanta Braves this Tuesday night, April 4th, 7:45, first pitch. Braves Country HD.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Someone asked me one time, have you ever bet in the WNBA? I'm like, no. Nobody cares about the WNBA. They don't. Sorry. Perfect example, Brittany Griner, WNBA superstar, currently in a Russian prison. If that were LeBron James, we would have sent SEAL Team 6, Jason Bourne, and 3 Girl Scouts for an extraction.
It's time to live, laugh, and create memories again with MSC Cruises. Join us on some of the world's most modern and innovative ships. Discover again at our new private island, Ocean Key MSC Marine Reserve, named Best New Cruise Destination. Cruise the Caribbean and Bahamas from Miami or Port Canaveral. Book now with free balcony upgrades and flexible booking changes. Call your travel advisor or visit MSCCruises.com. Restrictions apply. MSC Cruises, a world of discovery.
Wendy's only makes one kind of breakfast, your new favorite one. How do we do it? With fresh cracked eggs, oven-baked bacon, and flaky croissants. You know, the things your old breakfast wasn't doing. So toss that old news and its soggy eggs somewhere useful. And get to Wendy's. A sausage, egg, and Swiss croissant, bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant, and honey butter chicken biscuit. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only. Single item at regular price. Price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's.
Armchair Quarterbacks Radio covers the whole SEC the whole season long.
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan James.
This is the start of things. First quarter at the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. And Walker kicks to the right. Gets outside. The 35. Look out. He's past midfield and he's got a blocker. Cuts to the inside. Herschel Walker. There he goes again.
Straight up the middle. Touchdown. Delayed reaction, but Tebow got in.
Oh, jump pass. How about that? Oh, my gosh. That looks like 1955. Holy cow. Are you kidding me?
Armchair.
SEC! SEC!
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE.
You're in Braves Country.
Welcome back. Braves Country, we look ahead to tonight's action. 7:45 Eastern, we'll have first pitch, pitch by pitch, play by play, right here on Braves Country HD. And going to get you, go ahead and get you ready for tonight's game. Get you to the news at first. Let's get that out of the way first. Braves Country news. Couple of things not Braves related, but still of note. First things first, if you notice, there's one team left in Major League Baseball with neither a win, not one single win. It's the Philadelphia Phillies. So the Philadelphia Phillies, who everybody had winning the NL East, giving the Braves the hardest time, they have yet to record a win. Still a long season, way too early, doing kind of celebrating, obviously. But that's not good, and Philly still has two more games on the road in the Bronx. Now, I mentioned this yesterday. That's a brutal, brutal schedule to start your season. You still don't want any kind of excuse coming out 0-4 when you're the defending National League champions. You want to go out and you need at least a win in the first four. And to get swept at Texas is probably the most damning of it, especially considering the fact that they got to DeGrom. Like that's the one thing that you would have thought would have been the biggest issue, right? Getting to DeGrom. But instead, let's be honest, they pounded DeGrom, but Nola didn't hold up his end of the deal. Their entire pitching is what I kind of expected Philly to be. I still think Philly's going to be pretty good, but they're going to do it all at the plate, and their pitching is very, very suspect. Their bullpen's already falling apart, and anyone that thought that Craig Kimbrell was going to be some savior in that bullpen, I felt like that they way overpaid for him. I know some Braves fans wanted him to come back to Atlanta, and I wouldn't mind him per se, but not as a closer at this stage in his career, and not for the money that he was asking. Philly ended up giving him $10 million, and when you consider some of the pitchers that the Braves have on their staff, You can grab four or five pretty darn good relievers that we have on our staff right now, and it's not going to equate to $10 million. So Philadelphia, you looking at the it's kind of funny. I'm having to adjust this as on the screen, and I just realized I didn't have it scrolled down far enough for anybody to see Philadelphia. So there you have that. Philadelphia is so far down that I have to change the view of the scroll so that it can be seen. So there you go. Atlanta's in first place right now. We're 3-1. just a half game in front of the Mets, a long way to go. We know that. What I like the most about this is that we're getting off and playing good baseball from the jump. And you know that was probably a focus in the spring, considering last year where we played so poorly. If you remember the last year, we started off splitting at home against Cincinnati. You didn't like losing the game on Sunday to Philly. Washington. But the circumstances when you've got the rookie pitcher going and his nerves were there and he did not have it in the first inning. They give Washington credit. They took advantage. And then Mackenzie Gore pitched a really good game. So that's the one loss we've had last night, if you missed it. Charlie Morton battled. He didn't look in tip-top form. But Charlie Morton did this last year, too. Took him a while to really get going. And the difference between Morton and a lot of other pitchers, first of all, he's got that veteran grit, and he finds a way to keep battling, staying in the game, and that helps for a couple of things. Not only did he get the W, and that's great, but he also didn't implode the bullpen, because the things that we've got going on here that I'm about to go over, we've got a tough stretch. A couple of news and notes. Max Fried did finally go to the IL. It will be retroactive to April 1st. Not 100% sure why it wouldn't be March 31st, but that's what the press release said. I mean, March 31st, they could have easily put him on there. We were off, but I guess that's how the numbers crunched. And I do know that one of the reasons why they were waiting so long, a lot of folks have asked about this, is the longer you wait, the less you got to pay other guys who are coming up. And so when it's all said and done, this is a business. Okay, so you got him going down to the IL. So he'll miss a minimum of 10 days. You've got Schuster going down to the minors, and he can't come back for 10 days. When they made that move, they knew they couldn't use him again for 10 days. So it gets a little tricky, a little interesting as we try to navigate the next couple of weeks. The next thing that you're looking at here is they had to DFA Jordan Luplo because they had to purchase the contract, as it's referred to, of tonight's starter, Dylan Dodd. So Luplo is going to get DFA'd. We'll see if he makes through. He'll probably get scooped up, but I don't think that's necessarily the end of the world. Luplo's a good depth piece, but he's not going to be the difference on whether or not this team makes a serious run. So those are all the major moves that have come across. We got other things that we'll get into in the broadcast tonight, but that's the major bullet points. So then the next thing that we're looking at is, what is this team going to look like pitching wise for the next several days, the next couple of weeks, right? And one of them, you've got Dylan Dodd going tonight. You've got Bryce Elder. That's the other move. I think I failed to mention that. Bryce Elder came up. So Bryce Elder comes up. He's pitching tomorrow. So this is really a makeshift type of deal. But the Braves, you can tell right there that they were not very impressed by Schuster's outing. And they're looking at not putting, and it's also for the overall development of Jarrett, they're looking at not putting him back out there against the Padres this weekend. So we've got Dodd going tonight. We've got Elder going tomorrow. Thursday, the home opener is Spencer Strider, which everyone will be excited about that. And he will be on regular rest because of the one quirky day off on last Friday. Your opening day starter going down didn't mean that we had to bring up you would be forced to do a bullpen game on Thursday on the home opener. That's not really what you want to do, right? Home opener, opening day. You want to have a good night. You'd prefer not to have a bullpen game. But Friday night, most likely it's going to be a bullpen game. That would be my guess. They could bring someone up, but my guess is it's going to be a bullpen game. What's tricky about that is if they do a bullpen game, the Braves don't have another day off until the 13th, and that is a week from Thursday. So that becomes really, really tricky to navigate. But as it sets up right now, most likely it's going to be Dylan Dodd tonight, his major league debut. Bryce Elder comes back tomorrow. He didn't pitch great the other night, but he didn't pitch terribly. He was okay. And look, honest engine, for the Braves to continue to win a lot of games during this stretch where they don't have right, they don't have free, the offense is going to have to click. And that's why you've got one of the best offenses in baseball. So, Dodd tonight, Elder tomorrow, Strider opening night at Truist Park, and then most likely Friday night bullpen game. That will be another broadcast. We're bringing you the games tonight, tomorrow afternoon, 1:15 first pitch, and Friday, and that is a 7:20 first pitch. Now, the tricky thing about the Friday game, if you're thinking about watching or whatnot, it's on Apple Plus. And so, once again, get another streaming system that you know doesn't do you any good if you have the MLB package, et cetera, wherever you're at, or if you have Bally Sports, et cetera, that game is only going to be on Apple Plus. So we will do the live play-by-play of that game. So that's Friday night, Saturday Morton, and then back to Dylan Dodd on Sunday Night Baseball. And that game's on ESPN. We're going to do that game as well. So busy week for us, obviously, but a tricky week for the Atlanta Braves. And then if you want to fast forward all the way through, Bryce Elder would then take the ball again on Monday. And then Wright, Kyle Wright, his first day of eligibility, if all goes well, he'll take the ball next Tuesday night. I'm excited about that because Tuesday night baseball, as most of y'all know, we do a game every Tuesday night. So Tuesday night baseball, we'll have that game. I'm excited to be able to dive into the Kyle Wright first outing. Most likely they'll send Elder down at that point because he will have pitched. And once you send a guy down, you can't bring him back up for 10 days, but he will have pitched, so you know he's not pitching for at least 5 or 6. Then Strider would pitch again on Wednesday. This is next Wednesday. And then we get the day off. And when we get the day off, we get kind of reset it, and Morton would pitch on Friday, Dodd on Saturday. And Max Fried would be eligible. I think I said 10, but I meant 15. It's 10 if it's before the season started. It's 15 once the season begins. So it's a 15-day IL. Max Fried will be eligible on the 16th to come back. And at that point, Dodd just pitching on that Saturday night. At that point, Max Fried would come back, and Dodd would most likely go back down. But it's a long way away. If you're Dylan Dodd, you want to go out there and pitch well for many reasons. And one of the reasons is you do not want to not just get, you don't want to get set down because of poor performance, and you want to set yourself up where, look, you hate to even bring it up, but another injury could happen between now and then and he stays up. Or they decide to go to a six-man rotation because you're pitching really well and they want to ease everyone into the season. There's a number of reasons, but as of right now, that would be the option. If they were to keep him up, it would be because, assuming everybody's healthy, it would be because that they're going to do a six-man rotation, which they've talked about in the past. But I don't think Anthopoulos is very keen on it, because when you do that, if the six guys don't pitch deep into games, you can put some stress on your bullpen. If Major League Baseball ever gets to a point where they expand to 27 or expand it to where you can carry more pitchers, the Braves may do that one day. But as of right now, you can only carry 13, and you put the five guys into your rotation, you put a sixth one, that gives you a seven-man bullpen. And that may sound fine to most folks. When you look at a stretch like this, when we're not going to have a day off for quite some time, you can get your guys in some trouble. Because all it takes is one guy to not have a good start, and then the next night, there's a lot of pressure on that starting pitcher to go six, hopefully seven innings. And the starting pitcher doesn't love it when you put him out there, right? You put him out there, and what ends up happening, they say, well, you got to take one for the team, and your ERA gets ballooned because you don't have it or you're exhausted. So there, it's really tricky to be able to run these bullpens and run these pitching staffs. And that's why the guys get paid the big bucks that they do. Of course, you're also dealing with injuries and all that kind of stuff. So there you have that. We'll obviously get into the starting lineups just before first pitch. But that's tonight. This is going to be one of the funner Major League debuts that I can remember. And it's very key to realize Dylan Dodd's from the area. He's not that he's not far from St. Louis. In fact, he went to college right down the road. We'll get into all of that in the broadcast, but they're expecting him to have quite a few family members in the stands, which is always cool. And I honestly think that's why they did it the way they did it. Remember, Schuster was from the Northeast and went to school on Tobacco Road. So him getting his debut in Washington really played into his folks being able to come out and see him. And I also think they were trying to do Schuster a solid and let him start against the Nationals. You're trying to tell me Charlie Morton wouldn't have loved to start the first game against the Nationals? Instead, he had to face a really good St. Louis lineup, and St. Louis, I still think they're going to be a really good team. I know they didn't look great last night, but I would be shocked if they're not the National League Central champions. Milwaukee is looking better than I expected. I will say that. Their offense, mainly. We know Milwaukee's going to pitch, but they've been scoring and at a high pace, so that's going to be a fun deal right there, watching the Brewers and the Cardinals all summer. But as that goes on, you got to look at the big picture too, Braves fans, is that if we don't win the East, the backup plan to make the wild card gets greatly affected on how well teams in the Central are playing. In a perfect world, you want the Cardinals and the Brewers to be sputtering around. Now, obviously, we're pulling for the Brewers early part of this week because they're playing the Mets. But big picture, you want to see the Brewers have not that great of a record. Cardinals, everybody in the division, the Cubs. Because if you don't get the division, which should always be the goal because it's the one thing you control. But if you don't get the division, then you're looking at wild card. And though we have more wild cards now with three in each league, It's still not a gimme that just because you played well, because I'm still wrapping my head around how this is going to unfold with the new, not just all the new rules, but no one's even talking about the fact that we are going to see less of our division rivals and more of everybody. So you're playing everyone in your division 12 times a year, but you got to play everybody else, and that can be good and that can be bad. One of the things that you can look at is being tough about it, no matter how it plays out, is that when you play new teams that you haven't seen much of, even a bad team like the Detroit Tigers, a bad team that we don't expect to be very good this year like the Oakland A's, you're going to see starting pitching and bullpen guys that you have not seen before, and the first time you see them is rough. Now, granted, it goes both ways, but sometimes it's hard to pick up a guy the first time you see him. I'll be interested to see what Kodai Senga looks like the second time through when he's facing the division rivals and whatnot. I thought beginning of the year, I said that I thought Kodai Senga was going to have a pretty darn good year, especially get off to a good start, and he already has. Because he's a talented pitcher that no one's seen. But what's he going to be like that second time the Braves face him, the second time the Phillies face him? But that's all you're really looking at. I mean, he might run into a situation where he plays against a couple of good offenses twice, but it's going to be very rare because a lot of these teams you're playing, you're just playing three-game series. So you're going to face them one time, and away you go. And then there's going to be strategy, if you think about it, involved in, we'll just use the Mets for example. Let's say the Mets are making the playoffs, whether it's division or the wild card. How many times do you want Kodai Senga to be seen by your opposition or your potential opposition in the playoffs? So not just the face-to-face in the division squaring off for the regular season, but how many times do you want, let's say you think that you're going to face off, we'll just say the Padres, a rematch, right? It's going to be a rematch, Mets, Padres, and the wild card the first round. Let's say it's lining up that way. And they haven't faced Kodai Senga, and I'm not looking at the schedule, but I'm just putting it for instance. This could be any team, any pitcher. And they're scheduled to play San Diego down the stretch. Wouldn't you bench, skip a start, if you could manage it, so that the first time they see Senga is in the playoffs? I would. And these are the types of things that the Brian Snickers and the Buck Showalters of the world, they think about this stuff. So it's going to be a very intriguing season. It's already gotten off to a great start. You've got runs galore. You've got movement on the base paths. Obviously, the pace of play is enormously faster than it has been. It's been an average, I believe they said this morning, not 26 minutes faster than last year. It'll be interesting to see a full season what it comes into. Because I'm telling you, the early part of the season, those games are usually quicker anyways. You get later in the season, what about all the different pitching changes that you get later in the season? Well, this pitch clock is going to make even a bigger difference. And if you remember seeing some of these things, not only be early part of the year, but also in spring training, guys are getting very accustomed to the fact that they better be ready to go, especially the bullpen guys. They mentioned it last night about Colin McHugh being ready to go when your warm-up pitches are supposed to be done. Because McHugh got nailed in the spring. I think I was doing that game, but he got nailed in the spring for not being ready to roll, still doing his warm-up pitches. You have to be done with them 30 seconds before your official first pitch is due. And the reason why that is so that the batter, if they want to, they can get in the box and get ready. So these starting pitchers that are running out from the bullpen, I really think they're going to go to golf carts. I don't know why they wouldn't. It's going to make a lot of sense to book them and get them running out there so they're not tired. They had to have already talked about this and thought about this, and I don't know if Major League Baseball has addressed this or not. I haven't seen that in the news cycle, but it would make a lot of sense for as far as they have to go from these bullpens and some of these parks to get on that golf cart and go. But obviously, if you give it to one team, you got to make the golf carts available to the home team and the away team. You can't pull the... I always call it, you can't go Red Auerbach on them, because Red Auerbach used to do some dirty things for the Celtics way back in the 60s, where he would turn the AC off in the visitor's locker room, all that kind of junk, come playoff time. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into a little bit more of what's going on in the world of sports, and Joey's on the way. Keep it locked in here on the Key in Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Tuesday Night Baseball on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves travel to St. Louis, Missouri, heading into Busch Stadium, 7:45 Eastern first pitch. It'll be Dylan Dodd's Major League debut. He'll be going head-to-head with the Cardinals' Stephen Matz. We'll come on Braves Country HD at 7:15 Eastern for the pregame show and starting lineups. Catch pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play with your Atlanta Braves this Tuesday night, April 4th, 7:45, first pitch. Braves Country HD.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep on your toes.
You get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. So much, I'm gonna have to speed things up. You can get the Farmers Signal app, and that could get you up to 15% off your auto policy. That's just for using the app and driving like the normal speed limit, hearing, full stop, making lane change, signaling human being you are. Get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. Start with a quote by calling 1-800-FARMERS.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Hey, Braves fans. Thank you for listening to Braves Country Baseball. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we are here to bring you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves, bringing you spring training in 2 to 3 games a week all season long. Please like and subscribe today. Braves Country Baseball.
Dread running to the post office? Stamps.com brings post office and UPS services right to your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and get up to 40% off USPS and up to 62% off UPS rates. Nearly 1 million small businesses use Stamps.com to save time and money. It's a no-brainer. So skip the post office and visit Stamps.com.
Sit shark!
I'm not playing, you stupid game!
That's the sound of NyQuil Severe, hard at work. NyQuil Severe is the best sleep with a cold medicine. No tossing and turning, just rest and recovery. So you're ready to take on tomorrow. For powerful relief of your worst cold and flu symptoms, try NyQuil Severe, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
You're listening to WQEE in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country, weekdays 3 to 5 p.m.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
It's time to live, laugh, and create memories again with MSC Cruises. Join us on some of the world's most modern and innovative ships. Discover again at our new private island, Ocean Key MSC Marine Reserve, named Best New Cruise Destination. Cruise the Caribbean and Bahamas from Miami or Port Canaveral. Book now with free balcony upgrades and flexible booking changes. Call your travel advisor or visit MSCCruises.com. Restrictions apply. MSC Cruises, a world of discovery.
The play was aptly called the Holy Roller,
Another chapter in Raider folklore. They were the unquestioned kings of the improbable, impossible victory. Fantastic finishes and storybook endings lent almost a mythic quality to the team.
Oakland trails 20-14. 10 seconds left. The crowd takes up a chant of defense. Robisky and Banaszak on the back. Slot right. Branch inside. Bradshaw, Staver back. Here comes the rush. He sidesteps. Can he throw? He can't. The ball flipped forward as well as a wild scramble. 2 seconds on the clock. Casper grabbing the ball. It is thrown a fumble. Casper has recovered in the end zone. The Oakland Raiders have scored on the most seamless, unbelievable, absolutely impossible dream of a play. It's not real. 52,000 people minus a few lonely Raider fans are stunned. A man would be a fool to ever try and write a drama and make you believe it. This one will be relived forever.
Armchair.
Broken pretzels in the rug, the beer cans could be worse. She'll clean it up tomorrow and dread September 1st. But once again, ho-ho! Oh, the season's finally here. There's the fear, and every man feels like a boy, and every wife could kill. He's been buying beer since August, running hot and running cold. And 30 friends are on alert, that's all the dental hold.
Welcome back here on Braves Country, Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. So we're looking forward to the Braves versus Cardinals tonight. If you missed that game last night, man, Atlanta really, really looked good. I'll tell you who looks dang good. And that is Ronald Acuña Jr. He's back, baby. He's back. If you had any doubts about him, I figured he was going to play well this year. I didn't think he was going to get off to this quick of a hot start, but he is playing very, very well. And last night, I mean, he almost hit for the cycle. He had a home run again last night. He had a double, and he was just a triple away from the cycle. He went 3-for-4, a walk, 3 RBIs, 2 runs scored. He's hitting .353. Matt Olson hitting well as an own right. He's hitting .313 at this point. Austin Riley, man, if you didn't see that home run last night, you've got to look it up at some point. That thing was an absolute moon blast. He hit it over the facade. It's still rolling somewhere down the country roads of Illinois right now. I mean, he had absolutely tattooed that ball. And you got to love what Travis d'Arnaud is doing. I know a lot of fans are bugging out, wanting him to watch Murphy behind the plate more. But I really think it's going to be close to a half and half until they figure out what's going on in the DH. And right now, Marcelo Ozuna, though he hit well in the spring training, I will say this, he did draw 2 walks. But he's hitting .071. It's still super early, and they're not going to overreact, nor should they. But if Ozuna does not pick it up, I think that's when you're going to start seeing d'Arnaud in the DH role quite a bit and relieving Murphy behind the plate. And I would think, let me see. I don't normally the lineups don't have to come out till 3 hours before first pitch, so it'll be somewhere in the next half hour. That will get him. But I would think Murphy will probably be in the lineup today. He'll probably be behind the plate today. And then with it being a day game tomorrow, d'Arnaud would get the call. So d'Arnaud will probably be off tonight. But d'Arnaud's hitting .389. Another RBI. He's just, you know, what's so great about d'Arnaud is that he's such a smart hitter. And he's not going to tear up the base pass. He's not going to go out there and hit you 40 home runs either. But he gets you key hits time after time after time. And it's going to be a heck of an offense to try to shut down on a daily basis. See Marshall chiming in on our Braves Country HD on the simulcast. Hello, Marshall. Of course, Joey is on the way. And we're going to be doing the mock draft. We're doing a slow burn mock draft. And we are sitting at the number six pick, I believe. No, seventh. It's the seventh pick. What we're doing. We're doing the Raiders pick coming up. And it's one of the reasons why I picked the Raiders song or whatever, the soundbite to come out of the break. But when you look at what Atlanta's doing, this offense could really be dangerous. Eddie Rosario hasn't quite gotten to where we want. And look, let's be honest. If Ozuna's playing decent defense, there's a very good chance that's going to be a true platoon out there. Ozuna will get the starts against the lefties, Rosario versus the righties. And every once in a while, Pilar will get involved. And I don't see anything wrong with that at all. I think this offense has a very good chance to be one of the best. Remember last year, they were, what, second in home runs in Major League Baseball? And I think they're going to be right there again. Marshall's asking me about the prediction of the Braves season. We already did the preseason, but the short of it is I've got them winning the division again. Atlanta top to bottom, pitching and hitting, et cetera, et cetera. I think they're going to get enough wins to win this division. I think they're going to be somewhere in the mid-90s. I don't think it's going to take 101 wins again to win this division. That's very rare that you need 101 wins to win a division, which means if you've got a lead down the stretch, you can take your foot off the gas, and that's why I don't believe anyone in our division is going to get to 100. But you never know, because at the same token, there could be a situation where we're dominating outside our division, and so were the Mets, or possibly the Phillies. And then you end up in another incredible stretch run into the summer, which last summer was a lot of fun. It was mainly a lot of fun because we caught them and beat them. I would like to have a cruise control type of division victory this year, because last year took a lot out of that team, and I think it's why they were so flat going into the postseason. But tonight, Dylan Dodd's going to get that start, and I'm excited to see him play. He's over the long haul in spring training, he's looked like he's got the better stuff. But he's just got to, the thing is, everything being equal, I would have liked to have seen Dylan Dodd get his major league debut against the Nationals and see what he could have done. Because if you swept the Nationals and you won last night, then Schuster pitching tonight would almost be a throwaway game. You say, hey, if he pitches well, that's great. If not, and maybe Schuster choked and didn't play so well because he had all his family coming down the coast to watch him. You never know. That could definitely play into it. Sometimes you expect these athletes to play better when all their family's watching. Sometimes they don't have that ice water in their vein, and it's more difficult for them to go out there. They already got all the nerves of, it's my Major League Baseball debut, and now it's my Major League Baseball debut in front of everybody I've ever known. So, I mean, you know, I know we watch these games and we get ticked off and we just, you know, curse the skies for whatever reason, when you see some of these guys play whatever sport, not just baseball, but they're humans, and the human element turns into an elephant in the room, because you start overthinking sometimes. And I guarantee you, most of y'all listening have had that same issue, maybe not in sports, but you've overthought stuff at work and you've made things harder on yourself, and you got back later and said, why didn't I do it this way? Why didn't I do it that way? I've been in the restaurant business for years, and I can tell you many a time that I get back and I get home, or I'm on my way home, and I think to myself, man, why did I do it that way? That was stupid. I should have, and the next time I'm back out there, I perform much better. And it's just little things like that, that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves sometimes. And Schuster, I think the next time he gets a chance to go back out there, he's going to pitch much better. It's very rare when a rookie pitcher goes out. I can tell you right now, I'm not taking, look, I give a lock of the day every single day. I'm not taking Dylan Dodd and the Braves to win today. I hope we win. I do think we're going to beat the run line. The run line today is 4, and Steven Matz can be got at, and the Braves tend to pound left-handed pitching. So I do think the Braves are going to score runs, but how many runs can they prevent? And that's going to be the key tonight, because we did use quite a bit of our bullpen last night. So how many are going to be available this early in the season? They're usually very, very cautious on running guys out there back-to-back nights. So looking forward to the game tonight, and obviously we'll be locked in as we'll have the broadcast right here. 7:45 first pitch, not the typical 7:20 when they're at home. They're in St. Louis. 7:45 first pitch, and pregame will come on about around 7:15 is when we shoot for. And Braves Cardinals, looking forward to that. The other news and notes that are circulating, obviously the tee times for the Masters, that's out. And I don't believe I brought this up, but Miami, I've got it jotted down, but I don't think I brought it up yet. Johnny Cueto of the Miami Marlins, he's already heading to the IL. He came out of the game yesterday, right bicep tightness. That's usually not good. And I know that the Marlins were expecting him. Look, Johnny Cueto is no longer the shutdown automatic front of the rotation guy anymore. But what he has done for the last several years, when healthy, and that's been a key for him, he's an innings eater. When he goes out there and pitches, he's normally 6 innings and gives you a decent shot at a quality start. That's all you can really ask for most pitchers. Not everybody's Max Fried and Spencer Strider. You're going to have your entire team. I mean, let's be real. When Charlie Morton came out on the mound last night, what did we hope for? I didn't really expect it, but I was hoping for a quality start. But somewhere in that neighborhood, I would be fine with it. And that's essentially what we got. Charlie Morton last night, 3 earned runs, just missed the 6th inning mark. If you're not familiar with what a quality start is, it's 6 innings, 3 earned runs. See, he was right there. Nick Anderson came out. If you missed that, he went 1 2/3. So he's probably not going to be available for tonight. McHugh pitched last night, 1 inning. Minter pitched last night, 1 inning. Those two guys could be available depending, but they'll probably try to make it where they don't use them if at all possible. Because then you got a quick turnaround tomorrow. So if you deploy McHugh and Minter tonight, they're definitely not going out tomorrow. Even if any chance they had of going 3 games in a row, it's not happening this early in the season on a short day. Because we play tonight and we play tomorrow at 1:15. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to bring Joey on to the show, and we're going to be talking some NFL and Major League Baseball. Keep it locked in here on The Key in Braves Country HD. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. Your Atlanta Braves go head-to-head with the St. Louis Cardinals in game number two, 7:45, first pitch. We'll have the call right here on Braves Country HD, pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play, pregame, 7:15. Other games of interest on Tuesday night, Mets are at the Brewers as they'll try to rebound after a drubbing by the Brew Crew. It'll be Max Scherzer versus Wade Miley. Phillies are back in the Bronx. Strom versus Herman. Philadelphia versus the Yankees. Cubs and Reds at 6:40. Wesneski will get the ball for Chicago. Sessa for the Reds. Sandy Alcantara is on the mound for the Miami Marlins. They're at home facing the Minnesota Twins. Kenta Maeda will get the nod, his first start of the season. Rays at the Nats at 7:05. Washington, Chad Kuhl on the mound. Red Sox are at home versus the Bucks. Pivetta up against Runzy Contreras. The Baltimore Orioles are in Texas. Wells versus Heaney. While the Astros host the Tigers, Guardians at the A's at 9:40. Suarez and Castillo, Angels versus Mariners. And the late pitch, Rockies at the Dodgers, Urias and Marquez. Tuesday night in the NBA, Celtics are at the 76ers on TNT, 8 o'clock Eastern. Other games of interest, Lakers are at the Jazz at 9. Your Atlanta Hawks are in Chicago with the Bulls giving up 4. Tip-off, 8 o'clock Eastern. And the Oklahoma City Thunder are at the Golden State Warriors. And over on the ice, you got a doubleheader on ESPN. Vegas Golden Knights are at the Nashville Predators at 8 o'clock. And the puck drops at 10:30. Second part of the double dip, Oilers at the Kings. Other games of note on the plus, 7 o'clock Senators at the Hurricanes. Sabres at the Panthers. Red Wings at the Canadiens. And the Penguins travel to New Jersey to battle the Devils. Kraken are at the Canucks at 10, as well as the Avalanche in San Jose to face the Sharks. Tee times have been announced for the 87th Masters. Tiger Woods is scheduled to tee off at 10:18 a.m. Thursday alongside Victor Hovland and Xander Schauffele. This will mark Tiger Woods' 25th appearance at Augusta National. Five-time Green Jacket winner, last-minute appearance on tour at the Genesis Invitational. The Masters will mark his second start of the year. Defending champion Scottie Scheffler will look to become the first player since Woods in 2001-2002 to win back-to-back Green Jackets, and will start attempts at 1:36 p.m. Thursday with Max Homa and Sam Bennett. Rory McIlroy is looking forward to the career Grand Slam and win the Masters for the first time. The current FedEx Cup champion will tee off with Tom Kim and Sam Burns at 1:48 on Thursday. Other notable groups include Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Cameron Young, 10:42 a.m. All three ranked in the world's top 15, all three eyeing their first Green Jacket. Rahm has finished top 10 in 4 of the last 5 Masters. Thomas has 2 top 10s in the last 3. Young finished runner-up at the WGC Dell Match Play. Zach Johnson, Jason Day, Gordon Sargent tee off at 12:48 p.m. While Matthew Fitzpatrick, Colin Morikawa will tee off at 1:24. Jordan Spieth and Tommy Fleetwood join Tony Finau at 2 Eastern. We'll keep you up to date Thursday afternoon and Friday as the tournament rolls on. Other big names, 8:12 Eastern, Vijay Singh, Freddie Couples at 8:36, Larry Mize at 9, Sergio Garcia at 9:12, Patrick Reed, 9:24, Bubba Watson, 9:48, Adam Scott, Patrick Cantlay, 10:30, Phil Mickelson joins Siwoo Kim at 12:24. Zach Johnson, Jason Day at 12:48. Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose at 1:12. We'll give you your Friday tee times later on in the week.
That's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Hello there, Frazier.
Oh, what fresh hell is this?
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill. And every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Your true friends are the people in your life that totally get your inside jokes, your unique style, most important, what you want to eat. Taco Bell knows that when you get together with your real friends, it doesn't matter what you're doing, but hey, it might as well be something that everybody can get into, like the taco and burrito cravings pack with four crunchy tacos and four beefy five-layer burritos. So even if you're all sitting around doing absolutely nothing, you know you'll still have a good time. It's Taco Bell's taco and burrito cravings pack. Get it for the friends that get it.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gas. And see full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Right here on The Key and YouTube.com. At Braves Country.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I don't know.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive time on WQEE. Okay, welcome back. I didn't know what I was doing there, Joey. I was screwing up the intro. Welcoming Joey onto the show. If you're watching on Braves Country HD on YouTube, you'll understand what I mean. So I got the new screen that we edited yesterday with Tones being on here. I didn't realize that because I had our logo up and I added you, I did not realize that meant that you couldn't squeeze in. So, hey, let me look at my logo. What's going on here? Anyways, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good, and I like the new look, by the way. It seems to be working just fine, as I watched yesterday. But big weekend for me, as we all know. We just had the Mania, WrestleMania weekend happen, and then the sale that merged UFC and WWE.
You got to break this down for me, because Ryan was jabbing at me yesterday, talking about it in our chat, and I was like, I don't know what in the world it is. I saw a clip of it on ESPN. And I still don't understand. Like, so what in the world did WWE do?
So for a while now, about I would say over a year, because partly due to just Vince McMahon getting older, but also he had some troubles behind the scenes legally. He's been trying to, you know, sell this company and become part of the board, but not be at the way top. So what happened? They had about six, seven, eight places it come down to: Comcast, Disney, a buyer in Saudi Arabia. There was many options. Well, what ended up happening is they ended up merging with UFC for $21.4 billion. And they are both owned by his name is Ari. He owns a company that's called Endeavor. They're the parent company of UFC. And he's the CEO. So now he is at the top. And then Vince McMahon and Dana White are right under him. but they are merging for $21.4 billion. That's the WWE and the UFC.
The other question I have is this. All right, so UFC, WWE is all becoming one. Does that mean that ESPN is now going to be doing WWE? Does that mean Fox loses it? And what's the other one? Doesn't someone else
do USA that? Network. Yeah, USA Network.
And what does that mean?
So that's the big question. As we all know, when new ownership takes over in a company, it takes a little bit, but there eventually becomes some drastic change, some maybe not so much. But one of the questions is like you said, they have a Fox cable deal. They have a USA Network cable deal. They also have Peacock Networks, which shows all their pay-per-views free of charge, unlike UFC does with how they charge for their most of their events. So there's a lot of questions being asked right now. What will happen with the networks? What will happen to the contracts? It's going to take a little bit of time for this new management group to get their feet wet. But I'm a little concerned that maybe these free pay-per-views that we get all the time for WWE, there's talk that the big four could go back to you have to buy them, which would be not good for the consumer, obviously.
Here's my other question, and there's a reason why I made us small. This is a serious question. Vince McMahon. What the hell am I looking at here? What is this clown? Man, I saw him on ESPN yesterday. It wasn't until someone brought it up this morning that I didn't know that was him.
Is that a 1980s porn star? No.
That's him.
Yeah, so it's funny. He hasn't been surfaced for a while. He's been low-key, but this WrestleMania he obviously attended, as we all know, the biggest event in wrestling, and he was there taking pictures, and I don't know what he's trying to do, but he went full mustache mode.
For people who can't see it, he literally looks like every joke that's ever been made about any guy on any old sitcom putting shoe polish in their hair. And he's like 80, he's not hiding a bit of it, and he's got nothing but shoe polish going on. Not to mention he's got like, I mean, that's not a porn star mustache, man. That's a pencil thin mustache. First of all, I thought it was Errol Flynn. I was like, what is he doing?
It looks like off-centered. It like looks off-centered.
Yeah. It looks like one of those really cheap ones that you did as a costume when I was a kid, and it was taped on, but it looks like he put his crooked. And if you get even closer, let me see if I can go any closer here. You can tell that this area here had been recently shaved. So he thought he was all dolled up. He wasn't taken by surprise. My God.
Yeah, when that blew up on social media just as big as anything else. And
did it? Okay. I said I didn't pay attention until this morning. I was like, what in the world am I looking at?
Yeah, it's quite the look, I'll say that, but definitely not his best.
I had to do the double take because I was like, what in the world is I saw the dude on the screen last night as I was walking by. But I was getting ready to watch the Braves game, taking the dogs outside, that kind of thing. Wasn't really paying attention. They were talking about wrestling, so I was like, okay, whatever. Come back in. I was like, man, that guy was weird looking. Who was it? That guy that bought it? You know, I wasn't paying attention. Then today when someone brought it up, I was like, wait a minute, was that Vince McMahon? I thought it was a spokesman for Vince McMahon. Jeez. If anyone is familiar with what he looked, Vince McMahon used to look normal and jacked. Now he looks like he got jacked.
Yeah, because he actually wrestled at last year's WrestleMania for a few minutes, and he looked pretty jacked and no mustache. Now he looks old, sad, and off-center.
That's the best word I can use.
Get off my lawn, Vince McMahon.
Yeah, man, he's straight creeper, dude. I'm just like, what in the world is that? All right, let's go ahead and get into we haven't had a chance to talk any Central baseball, and the Braves are playing the Cardinals, so that kind of plays into it. Mm-hmm. Let me adjust this so you can see your Cubs, who are way down there at the bottom.
Not pretty. I have a good
what I would call good.
I've got a comment on that too and a bone to pick once you're done.
Who had the Reds tied for first place and the Cubs in last with the Cardinals just in front of them four games in.
Not me.
By the way, I do want to thank the Reds. I hit a parlay with them last night. I took them plus 1.5. I didn't like the pitching matchup, and I was going to take the 1.5 in my pocket. I'm trying to think of what the other one was. It was a late decision. I didn't talk about it on the show. It was a late decision. It was Cincinnati and someone else, and they both hit. My Kansas City pick came in too. That one to me was a no-brainer. Singer was on the mound, and I get it. Everyone thinks the Royals suck or whatever, but Singer's a good pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Take advantage of these now, boys and girls, because when the season gets about 3-4 weeks in, the books start catching up, and then it becomes very, very difficult to hedge your bet. What's the bone to pick?
Well, here it is, and I'll say this. I know it's only four games and there's a long way to go, but David Ross has been managing this team for a little while now, and two big mistakes he made last night, which really grinded my gears. So Drew Smyly, Cubs are up 6-4. He's at 93 pitches.
What inning was this? Do you remember?
He would have been qualified for the win. So it's bottom of the fifth. He's in the 90s on pitches. Okay. And he's just getting shelled all game. I mean, hit after hit. These Reds hitters.
Every Braves fan can tell you that we well remember.
Yeah. And I mean, like, this isn't a great Reds lineup. Let's be honest. A lot of people thought this was pretty much a joke of a lineup coming into the year. And they were teeing off on him. And what he did after he let up the home run. So Drew Smyly lets up a home run. It makes it 7-6 Reds. He then takes out, with two outs, he then takes out Drew Smyly. After all the hits, the home run, it's like, dude, you could have took him out before the inning started or after a couple hits in the fifth inning, then take him out after he was getting bashed all game. So that was mistake number one, which really irritated me. Let's go to the seventh inning where we have first and second, nobody out, and Patrick Wisdom, our leading home run hitter, and not a bunter. And also he had his hand hit in the game, Wisdom, but they left him in because they checked him out. They said it was okay. Okay. He has him bunt with a 3-1 count, and he bunts it, and he pops up, and they catch it. So it's first and second, one out, and the guy had a 3-1 count. And the reason David Ross said he did that, he said he's a professional hitter, and he gave a good effort at it, and he's a pretty good bunter. I don't want to hear any of that. That was ludicrous.
What was the score again?
7-6, first and second, nobody out.
And what inning?
The top of the seventh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not playing for one run in the top of the seventh in a game that's already showing me, 13 runs at that point?
Yes.
Yeah, that's – but look, I I'm on record for saying I did not like the hire with Dances with the Stars.
You are.
I felt like that it was a media ploy. It was a I can't think of the right term, but it was – they did it to try to put butts in the seats because they were rebuilding, and they felt like that they had to have something for people to come watch. Now that you have a team that you're starting to build that has some talent, it'll be very interesting to see how long he lasts.
Yeah, and this isn't the first time. Again, I know they didn't have the roster last year, but his in-game decision-making is troublesome, and I know we're only four games, but – it's glaring already, and it costed us a game last night. So that did not make me happy with my Cubs.
Well, I'll make sure to relay that to Justin, who's here on Wednesdays, because he does not like David Ross one bit.
Please do. He'll take this one and run. He will take
the win. I don't know. I'm not a big fan in general of any manager, especially in baseball, but just about any sport, just getting a job because they're famous. And that's what happened with your Colts, and that's what happened with your Cubs. That's essentially what, because I'm not even saying that David Ross couldn't be a good manager. He needs to sit beside somebody for several years and learn why you do and don't do things. And it's not just the in-game stuff. It's every little thing. Just because he played catcher for years does not mean that he can do all the other stuff. I don't know.
It's troublesome early, and I tell you what, if we lose tonight to Cincinnati and drop to 1-4, of course there's 157 games up, but losing to Cincinnati after I made fun of them as much as I did. Oh.
I do think you got a good chance tonight.
I hope.
I actually took them earlier today. It's not my lock, but I that was one of the games that I took today because I like the pitching matchup. Wisniewski versus Luis Sessa. I think Wisniewski looked pretty darn good in the spring. I saw him pitch two different games, and he has a high strikeout rate, and that's going to play, especially when you're in that park. Sessa is a good young pitcher in his own right, but I think the Cubs will put some points on the board, some runs on the board.
Yeah, and that was the thing last night, which was good to see. Guys like Bellinger, who were Ofer, Hosmer, they both hit home runs in the game. They both had a couple of hits. That was good to see.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, the NFL slow burn mock draft here on.
Yeah.
And Joey is on the clock. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Keep it locked in.
40 games at $50 a piece? That's like $2,000.
Per seat.
Per seat? How many seats did you buy?
One. And the one next to it.
That's $4,000.
Unless they get in the playoffs, because for some reason playoff tickets are more money than regular seats. They'll never make it. What am I talking about? They're a lousy team this year.
You spent $4,000 on a lousy team?
Well, let me explain something to you about basketball. You cannot get season tickets like this with a good team. You got to ride out the bad years. Hoping for a good one.
That's what you said 17 years ago when I married you, and I'm still waiting for a good one.
Look at me. 92.
Come on, you know, I mean, at the roll at your age.
Whoopee.
Must be down to a handshake, huh?
Yep, before and after.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Tuesday Night Baseball on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves travel to St. Louis, Missouri, heading into Busch Stadium, 7:45 Eastern first pitch. It'll be Dylan Dodd's Major League debut. He'll be going head-to-head with the Cardinals' Steven Matz. We'll come on Braves Country HD at 7:15 Eastern for the pregame show and starting lineups. Catch pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play with your Atlanta Braves this Tuesday night, April 4th, 7:45, first pitch. Braves Country HD.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boicerously. Face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head. Bristling mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Armchair.
I go here.
Welcome back. Joey?
Yes, sir.
Are you about ready, sir?
Oh, I'm ready.
There we go.
Yes! That music, man. Woo-hoo!
Let me get the...
That's a vibe right there.
It is. What are we, just over 3 weeks away? It's really odd that this has become one of the biggest things in sports. There's nothing's being played. Nothing's happening. But you get excited to what your team could be doing. I just saw, what is his name? Todd McShay. I guess he's predicting that both your Colts and Tones' Bucks are both going to trade up. The Colts trading up to the number three slot to grab Anthony Richardson. Though I still think Houston's going to get him. I really do. But I've been wrong about that kind of stuff before. And then the Bucks trading up. I didn't see who they're supposed to be trading up with, but they're moving up a handful of spots to grab Will Levis. But I feel like it wasn't very high. And my question is, if Will Levis is still there, and we'll get that answer tomorrow because I'm saving the Titans pick for when Justin's on. If Will Levis is still there, wouldn't the Titans possibly draft him? I'm not a big fan of Will Levis. But
I have a mock draft sitting up right here on my screen where the Titans trade up to pick six and grab Will Levis. So I've seen – I mean, I don't think Will Levis is making it past pick 10 with how
they were – I think they were saying 14 because where are the Bucks at right now?
Like 22 or 23.
Yeah, yes, yes. So they had him like around 14.
I don't think he's getting there.
Probably not because it's a quarterback league. But that would be interesting. I mean, the teams that would be make a lot of sense to trade back. I mean, would the Falcons trade? I mean, or draft him? Or has he not been that spectacular?
And to me, teams like, I mean, look, I know Seattle has Geno Smith, but that's not a long-term answer. I know there's other teams like Detroit who have Jared Goff, but that's not a five-year plan. There's other teams that are going to be heavily involved with going up at some point. And I just don't think four quarterbacks that everyone talks about get past the 10th pick, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do think they're all reaches. I don't think these quarterbacks are necessarily the best players in the draft.
Definitely.
But this has become such a big quarterback league. I just don't know. I guess one of the biggest things, especially when we're talking about the Falcons, is how much do they believe in Desmond Ridder? And if they believe in Desmond Ridder, then all that's a moot point. They could be going in a totally different direction. Do they feel like they haven't given him much of a chance and they need to do that before they end up with two quarterbacks in camp? And then what do you do there? Or do you?
Yeah,
Or do you just draft the best player available? And if it happens to be a quarterback, then you worry about it. Either A, they fight it out and you trade one away, or B, one of them just never ends up panning out.
I mean, history shows that one out of two won't pan out, so it wouldn't be the worst idea for them to take.
All right, so did he ever answer? I was wanting to get Doug's take. No, he still hasn't answered that. It's like trying to get an act of Congress to get him to.
Don't worry, I got what I think is the best pick. Let me tell you.
Well. Try to be realistic. I mean, don't just give him that junk.
This is 100% realistic. It won't be flashy.
I saw one where they were talking about the Raiders trading up to get a quarterback. I'm like, well, then why did they just sign Jimmy G? What would that be about?
Yeah, and today they gave Brian Hoyer a 2-year deal. So their quarterback
is exactly. Yeah, I saw that. That doesn't really move the needle. So I didn't
watch
that. But it is interesting because you're sitting there looking at it going, all right, well, you know, that to me definitely spells that they're worried about Jimmy G's health, but they're not going to go out there and draft anyone very high. So they're fine with where they're at.
Correct.
So anyways, back to where we were. The Raiders are on the clock and the pick is in.
With the 7th pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Chris Gonzalez, cornerback out of Oregon. Look, if you look at this Raiders depth chart, their cornerbacks are thin. They don't even have a number one corner or something close to it on their roster. This guy, Christian Gonzalez, he's good length. He has good speed. He ran a good 40 in the draft. I think they shored up a decent amount of things on offense. To me, it's defense's time for the Raiders to do something. And what better way to start in trying to get a stabilized corner from Oregon? He could take the ball a little way better, but he's the top corner on the board, and that's who I'm going with for the Raiders.
That one there is one of the more interesting ones because I've actually seen him rumored to possibly be going even higher. Yesterday when we did it, so just to get everyone caught up to speed, now we can't do this every day, so because when we get deeper into the draft, we're not going to go through every single pick we've done, but we've only done a handful. C.J. Stroud went to Carolina, Anthony Richardson to Houston, Will Anderson to Arizona, and we're not doing trades in our mock drafts because I think they're silly because then you really screw everything up, and then how accurate are any of these going to be, right?
Correct.
You know, sometimes things are just rhetorical. You don't always have to say correct.
I'm a robot. Hey, my brain only goes so many different directions.
I'm just busting balls.
I have a big head, but there's sometimes not a lot in it.
That's what she said. Okay.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Tug it Tuesday.
Don't tell me twice.
I bet I know.
I'm sorry. I'm done. Cancel me.
Where did I leave off? Will Anderson was third going to Arizona, right? And I do like that. They're obviously stuck with the quarterback situation that they're in. So that is what it is. And then you've got the Colts drafting young quarterback from Bama. And Jalen Carter went to Seattle, and then I took Miles Murphy to go to Detroit. I do think they're going to go to defense regardless. And a couple of the mock drafts I've seen have talked about them getting defensive backs, and I understand that theory in a passing league. But I'm looking at their division, and if you're Detroit and you want to win the NFC North, you're going to have to beat Minnesota in Chicago, right? Because, I mean, let's be honest, Jordan Love's going to take a hot minute to gel, if he ever gels. We don't know what he's going to actually end up being. I went edge rusher because I want someone who can put Justin Fields on his keister. I'm not worried about a wide receiver burning me, and I want someone who can go after and put some heat on Kirk Cousins. And I don't think there's a wide receiver in this draft that's going to be able to cover Justin Jefferson, so that's a moot point anyways. So that's why I went there. But you took Gonzalez, and I do think that's a good pick because you're talking about putting him in a division. They know one thing. They're going to have to stop the pass.
Oh, yeah.
So I like that pick a lot. I don't think they really need a whole lot on offense, so they'll get that later in the draft. So there you have that. All right. So now I am on the clock, and it is your Atlanta Falcons. Let's get their logo up there. Get them ready to rock. Why do I not see it? Here we go. All right. Get that thing enlarged a little bit before we share it. All right, here we go. You ready for the Atlanta Falcons? Here we go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Do you like how I took the old school Falcons helmet? That's the real Falcons helmet, baby.
They need to go back to that.
They do. That's the original primetime helmets. That's the
Dirty Bird helmet.
Chris Chandler helmets.
Yep.
That was the Ironhead Hayward. Was he in those helmets or was he in? I can't remember. But that was the real deal. And then they went to the black ones are really the neon Dion ones, because when it was him and Ryzen, they kind of went to that. Okay. So Atlanta Falcons, where are we going with this? Got a couple of, what in the world did I do with my pick? All right. The Atlanta Falcons, here it is. All right. This one's interesting, and I could go one or two ways. And honestly, the one that I'm staring at, I don't like, because I'm not drafting a running back this high. I'm just not going to do it. And the one that I'm staring at has a Bijan Robinson going to Atlanta. And as talented as he is, are you really going to draft that, you know, him that high, a running back in a league where you know that if you draft the guy, you're lucky if he gives you 3 to 4 good seasons, and then they all fall apart. They all fall apart. So I'm going to go with Jackson Smith Jigba. I think that's how he pronounces his name. I'm going to go with that. If you can put that in the chat. I'm going to go with the best receiver on the board, I believe. And if they're going to stick with Ridder, and they're going to go this route, they need to get some weapons for him, because they traded away their best receiver to Jacksonville. Ridder's got to have more than just Kyle Pitts. And I think they've got some pretty good talent in the backfield, so I don't think they'll go running back off the jump. The theory in the article that I saw that was picking him was saying that because Smith ran the offense at Tennessee, he's going to want a running back like he had with Derrick Henry, et cetera, et cetera. Man, Derrick Henry is a generational running back, right? You're not going to be able to go out and draft the next Derrick Henry. This offense in this time of this, and if you're not going to make the trade for Lamar Jackson, then give me a receiver. Now, if you are going to make the trade for Lamar Jackson and you still have that pick, then I am all about the Bijan Robinson. The reason why I say that is your offensive theory changes 1,000%. But that's where I'm going, is I'm going with Jackson Smith Jigba. I believe that's how he pronounced his name, or at least that's how I've heard it pronounced.
Better than I would have done.
that's all right. There's a tongue twister.
I'll go JSN.
Well, yeah, that guy's getting a nickname off the jump. No NFL player has three names and ends up being called that. So it'll be something. I don't know if JSN is catchy enough, but it's gotta be something. Or everyone just call him Jackson. Jackson to Jackson. They get Lamar and they bring in Jackson Smith. Let's go. All right. I mean, honestly, if he wants to sell shoes and everything, you need to just drop the last and just go Jackson Smith, like something that's really catchy, right? But that'll
something.
Probably
give us something good.
But that'll probably tick off his mom or his dad or whose ever last name that is. All right. So there we have that. I've got the wide receiver from Ohio State, the best receiver in the country, in my opinion. You've got Gonzalez for Oregon. And here come the Bears. The Bears.
The Bears. Well, for the Bears pick at pick 9 here, I won't do my fake crappy NFL voice like I tried to do for the Vegas Raiders. I'm going to keep it simple. You need to protect Justin Fields. What better way to do it with another guy from Ohio State, Paris Johnson, offensive tackle. This guy is going to be really good anchor on that line. They need offensive line help. As you just alluded to with draft picks, you're trying to get Justin Fields on his back. This team's trying to get him to stay upright. I know there's questions between him and some people have the Northwestern tackle also going pretty high, but I'm going with Paris Johnson, O tackle out of Ohio State. So that would be back-to-back Ohio State players taken, and that's by the Bears.
That's going to tick off a lot of Titans fans.
Sorry.
They definitely want to go. Here we go. It took me forever, but there's the Bears logo. That's the best one I could find. Give me your best. You got a good bear impersonation?
A grizzly bear, no, but I'll tell you what, man. Mike Ditka, coaches coach and players play. I'll tell you what. Stop it. Mike Ditka here.
I like it. Stop Bears.
Stop Bears.
That was the best skit on Saturday Night Live.
I tell you what, that guy just, God bless, he's still obviously moving, but those were the days back when Sunday Countdown was on. You could see a little of the coach with his cigar and his sunglasses with that 1995 look.
Yeah, Dick, are you old enough to remember when he traded away the entire farm at New Orleans?
I've read about it many of times.
He came out smoking a cigar and was bragging about how, well, the draft's over for us. And then the weird thing was that Sports Illustrated, was that something else where he came on to the him and Ricky Williams were on the cover, and Ditka was in a tux and Williams was in a wedding dress. That was an odd photo shoot.
It wasn't one of the brighter Mike Ditka moments.
No, sadly it was. I always liked Dick. I liked him when he was with ESPN. I don't know what he's doing nowadays. I always thought he was entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was the best coach, but I always thought he was entertaining. He was very Rex Ryan in that way.
Absolutely.
When's Rex Ryan getting another gig?
I'll tell you, man, this guy's, if I'm him, I just stay fine and dine in ESPN because –
Yeah, well, he's good on ESPN. I mean, he's good on TV, but can he find another place? Because I really don't like their show. Their show, it's boring.
I mean, they need to scrap that in general and come up with something better. That's how
they need to blow that up. Like, I'm looking at three of the freaking chuckleheads that are on the NFL Live right now, and I'm like, that's just like nothing that they say appealed to me. And some of them aren't bad, like Swagoo. But they have just been oversaturated into where you see them every 23 minutes.
Yeah, and with all due respect to people like, you know, I actually don't mind the personality sometimes of a Danny O or a Mina Kimes, but they act like they're the geniuses. Did we forget that Dan Orlovsky was a third-string quarterback that ran out of the end zone? Do we forget that Mina Kimes isn't the end-all, be-all for the NFL problems? I'm sick of listening to all that crud.
Yeah, man, Kimes can take a flying leap.
Yeah, I wanted to say something like
she's terrible, but she's got them backed into a corner because she accused ESPN executives of some shady stuff, which never could be proved. And so long story short, they're stuck with her. Right. So she was playing that card, but she just, There's nothing. I do notice that I don't see her as much. I used to see her quite a bit. Like, they were force feeding her on everything. Round the horn, NFL Live. Now they'll just bring her on NFL Live every once in a while, whatever. So I think she might have ruffled some feathers.
Well, that's because every time they need to make a hard statement, they put our preacher Ryan Clark on, who always has to go.
He's way on out. Now.
Like, okay, boom, there you go.
Right now, as we speak, they're showing him, and I like him to a degree, but his shtick, like, if you see him too much, it gets old. And I also feel like that he does a lot of things, says a lot of things just for reaction. And anyone that does that, I don't respect their takes, because it's not that I don't respect where they're coming from. I don't respect that it's genuinely how they feel, because I think you're doing it. It's the reason why Colin Cowherd wore himself out with me, because I felt like Colin Cowherd, if you listen to him for 2 hours, he would have three different takes on the same topic and all of them polar opposites. And I'm like, really? So you're just doing this to see which one will go viral.
And that just bugs me, because I used to listen a little bit of Colin Cowherd as well, but I try to stay from the way from the people who all act like Skip Bayless, where it's not their true opinion. They just want you to watch their show, so they make a crazy take. Give me what you really think, please.
Correct. All right, we got to take a quick break.
Zinga!
Zing, zing! When we come back, we're going to wrap this puppy up, give you our locks, and react to that snore fest that was a championship game last night. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Tuesday Night Baseball on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves travel to St. Louis, Missouri, heading into Busch Stadium, 7:45 Eastern first pitch. It'll be Dylan Dodd's Major League debut. He'll be going head-to-head with the Cardinals' Steven Matz. We'll come on Braves Country HD at 7:15 Eastern for the pregame show and starting lineups. Catch pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play with your Atlanta Braves this Tuesday night, April 4th, 7:45, first pitch. Braves Country HD.
Are you an adult?
Yeah.
And you went out last night?
Yeah.
Introducing a hangover.
What's that?
Surprise, idiot. You went out and actually had fun last night, but your body is here to remind you that's not allowed. With a hangover, you can have a light breakfast to soothe your tummy. See if drinking more will help. And finally, start your day at 6 p.m.
I went out last night for casual drinks with a friend, and now I can't even form a coherent thought.
Try it today.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive Time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Your true friends are the people in your life that totally get your inside jokes, your unique style, most important, what you want to eat. Taco Bell knows that when you get together with your real friends, it doesn't matter what you're doing, but hey, it might as well be something that everybody can get into, like the taco and burrito cravings pack with 4 crunchy tacos and 4 beefy 5-layer burritos. So even if you're all sitting around doing absolutely nothing, you know you'll still have a good time. It's Taco Bell's taco and burrito cravings pack. Get it for the friends that get it.
Dixie Handle Company, 5 generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., Drive Time on WQ. Q-E-E. All right, here we go. Try to manipulate this where folks can see it a little better. Welcome back. And we got Major League. Any basketball games interest you tonight? You want to go there in the world of sports, or do you want to go straight to baseball?
I'll just bring it up since I was going to bring it up in my close, and I'm actually headed to the Bulls game tonight, and it's a big game.
How are you?
Yeah, and they're playing the Atlanta Hawks. So the Bulls are the 10th seed right now, and the Hawks are the 9th.
That would have been a great ticket like 30, 35 years ago. Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan.
And you'll love this. Trae Young's a little sick tonight, so he's not playing.
Is he actually sick, or is he pulling a stunt?
Well, it's funny because Murray yesterday and then one of their good players was a sickness as well. So I'm not sure what's going on.
Tonight, now, but the thing is, it's hard for me to get excited about these until you find out if they're all going to play. There is a very good matchup in the NBA on TNT, Celtics and 76ers, 8 o'clock. But are they going to play? Because we're sitting here at the end of the season, and looking at, I don't think the Celtics realistically have a chance of catching Milwaukee. They're 2 games back. There's just not enough time left. I mean, they would have to absolutely implode unless Milwaukee figures out that they really want to play someone and they tank. The season ends, by the way, for folks who are wondering, the ends Sunday on Easter at 1 o'clock. Wasn't that brilliant?
Good luck getting views with the Masters and Easter. Oh, my goodness.
The Master, exactly. The Masters and Easter. 1 o'clock, and then the other games are at 3:30. So if you already weren't planning on watching it and you thought you might want to watch it, so the game is in Atlanta this week. The Celtics finish in Atlanta. 1 o'clock in Atlanta. Seriously?
Come on, man.
With the Masters going on in Easter? Bruh. What are they doing, man? The players might not even show up, much less the fans.
Yeah, because I was like, ooh, the Bulls' last home opener on a Sunday, 2 o'clock. I could go check it out.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's in Boston, but it is against Atlanta.
Jesus, terrible.
Boston? Like, Boston doesn't take Easter seriously? Come on. Boston? Have you ever been to Boston?
I actually have one time to check out Fenway Park, and it was quite the scene because it in a lot of ways.
A lot of churches in Boston. That's all I'll say. And we got, and they're playing 1 o'clock on Easter Sunday.
Good luck.
And hey, they'll let you in as low as $91. But the game before that's $119, so they've already slashed the prices.
If you want to go that bad, just wait till about 3 hours before the game. Go buy it. You'll probably get half price.
I don't have it in front of me, but the only thing that could be worse is if the Bruins and the Red Sox are in town as well. It's like there's no one's going to go to that game. They're getting geared up for the playoffs. They could care less. Boston's playing Philly tonight, and then they finish off tomorrow night and Friday night at home both times versus Toronto. That is strange. You don't normally see the same opponent back-to-back in the same building. But they played Toronto twice.
Because I need Toronto to lose. They're right ahead of the Bulls, too. So it's coming down to the wire for these play-ins.
And then they finish with Atlanta. Well, all right.
Any hooser.
I don't feel like I'm going to pay attention to this, but, you know, look, I'm doing the broadcast tonight, and so obviously I'll have the Braves on, but I usually put one or two other games on. I seriously doubt I put Celtics 76ers on. I might
check. Don't worry. I'm good at you keeping you posted on the useless things like wrestling, UFC, XFL. I'll keep you posted on the NBA.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, they're 2 games back. Just there's not much of a chance of them catching, I don't think. All right. That game last night, by the way, did you watch much of it?
Not much to watch, as it was consistently like a 10 to 15 point lead. It started. I watched the start. That San Diego State was hot, got the 10 points, started out 4 or 5 from the field, and then they just forgot how to ever shoot a basketball.
Man, that was a good old fashioned choke job, is what that was. That air got thick, and I mean quick. I was pretty. Oh, by the way, I did not realize this was going on. Diamondbacks trailed the Padres 1-0 middle of the third. I wonder if that possibly could be opening day out there for them. Because that's an early start on a Tuesday for San Diego.
I'll tell you what, the Diamondbacks made me unhappy yesterday as I picked up Magoo, and he blew a save, gave up a couple of runs. It was just terrible. I don't know what happened to him last night, but ugh.
Tonight, Phillies and Yankees. That should be an interesting one because the Phillies are the last winless team in baseball.
Which is shocking. I got one quick question for you that I wanted to ask you about the national championship, because a lot of radio talk I heard today. Is UConn considered a blue blood? That was the big talk I heard all day. Since they have 5 championships in like
25 years. I think they're close. And I think in future generations, probably, but I can't consider them that because they're, when they say blue blood, that typically means that you have been dominant for a long period of time. They've been dominant for a little over 20 years.
Fair.
To me, that's like the equivalent of a Florida State fan trying to say that Florida State was a blue blood because they were good in the, you know, late 80s and or into the 90s. It's just, it's not. You know, with football, blue blood is Notre Dame, Alabama, right? Basketball, it's got to be North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky. I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two, but I can't put them there. I think they are really, really close, though. And I think by the time I kick the bucket, assuming it's not tonight, you never know. I just feel like they're a, you could argue that they are somewhat of a dynasty because they've been so good and so, I mean, 5 championships. Is it 5?
Yep. In 25 years.
Okay. 5 championships. You could make the argument that, you know, that's a dynasty. I know it's a long, long, slow burn of a dynasty, but that's, You can make that argument, and I couldn't argue against that. But blue blood, I think you're saying that you're probably a UConn grad.
Yeah, and it is amazing. UConn
women are blue blood.
Ah, there you go. Maybe they're confused.
And the LSU women are bozo bloods.
Oh, jeez! And then what is President's wife Biden saying invite Iowa too. What are we going to invite when the NFL champions
participation trophies? Let's go!
Oh my god!
Let's go! Participation trophies.
Gross.
Well, I want to know when Florida State's going to get their invite for winning the Cheez-It Bowl.
That's a thank you. Oh, that made my day.
Oh man, Jill, she's such a clown. It's funny, though. I don't remember the one championship that kind of escapes me with UConn is the 2004 one. Like, when I was thinking back on it yesterday, off show, I could remember all the others, and I had to go back and look. I go, oh, that's right. Because the 99 one really sticks out to me because they knocked off Duke. What is your walk-off? We got a jam.
My walk-off will be my lock, actually. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Orioles money line at +125. They got their ace on the mound. I know the Rangers have been hot, but Heaney struggled in the spring. I expect the Orioles to get this W tonight, +125.
My walk off tonight. Make sure to tune in tonight, 7:45 on Braves Country HD. And little tidbit on this day, 1948, 84-year-old Connie Mack raced 78-year-old Clark Griffin from home to first. They ended up in a tie.
Ooh.
I would like to see the instant replay of that, but I couldn't find the footage. But
how fast!
How about that statistic? More of those interesting little tidbits on Braves Country tonight. We'll see you. See you Thursday, Joey. Make sure to chime in tomorrow with some Masters predictions.
I'll be there. Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show. Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Tuesday Night Baseball on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves travel to St. Louis, Missouri, heading into Busch Stadium, 7:45 Eastern first pitch. It'll be Dylan Dodd's Major League debut. He'll be going head-to-head with the Cardinals' Steven Matz. We'll come on Braves Country HD at 7:15 Eastern for the pregame show and starting lineups. Catch pitch by pitch, play by play with your Atlanta Braves this Tuesday night, April 4th, 7:45, first pitch. Braves Country HD.